Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Friday edition of the Hoosier Report, live and underway here on the Big X Sports Radio. Don't forget, we do this each weekday, 11 a.m. is the live show. Most days you can catch a replay on the Big X at 3 o'clock. For many of you that have tweeted and texted and asked me and emailed and all sorts of different communication, yes, there have been some problems with the 96.1 FM signal. But they're working on it, and it should be back or is back, one of the two now. So if you normally catch us on the FM, if you get better reception there, you should be able to get back to your normal routine, we hope, very soon. But glad you're with us, no matter how you're with us. And also, just a quick plug before we get too far down the line today, we're available as a podcast. I know a lot of you check us out that way, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. And you can find us in Apple Podcast as well by just simply searching for the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Glad you're with us. As always, a lot of things to get to here on the program. We jam about as much into an hour of radio with guests and news and much more as we possibly can each day here on the program. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, we'll have some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, updated player rankings in the 2021 class, which come very timely with all the recruiting activity going on right now. We'll tell you where some of the IU players of interest are at in those rankings. Also, a couple football notes in our headline segment as well, and we'll take a line-by-line, game-by-game preview for week five of high school football tonight and tell you about our coverage tonight of high school football here on the Big X. We'll do all those in segment one presented by Zaxby's. A little bit later in the program, Jared Morris is with me. Jared is with the Assembly Call. We're going to talk IU basketball as we normally do with him on Fridays. And we're going to start with defense. What will the Hoosiers' defense look like this season? And how could the Hoosiers' defense maybe help them if it's improved from last year in year three of Archie Miller? How could it help the Hoosiers maybe best a 9, 10, or even 11 spot projection, as we've seen by some of the preseason publications for this Indiana program in conference play? So we'll talk about that. We'll talk some recruiting with Jared and a lot more. And then later on, to finish things off this week, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star joins us. We'll get to some football. We'll get to some basketball. We'll cover a lot of ground with Kyle Neddenrip when he joins us later in the program. That's the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's jump into our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news, presented by Zaxby's with three area locations. Don't forget, coming up next month, we've got the girls' tip-off show to preview the 2019-2020 high school basketball season. It'll be out at Zaxby's, and following that, a few weeks, will be the boys' tip-off show for the 2019-2020 season, all coming your way at a local Zaxby's restaurant. We do it live. We have the coaches and the top players, and we invite parents, fans, and anyone that wants to join us to come out and have dinner at Zaxby's. Let's look at some headlines for this Friday. National rankings out. These from 247 Sports, which is headed by Evan Daniels. And Christian Lander, he rises in these rankings. He's now the number 11th ranked player overall in the 2021 class. So he's moving up, as you would expect. Also, Trey Kaufman, he is up now to number 29. So Trey breaks top 30 in the country, according to the 24/7 Sports National Rankings. And that's good to see, because I don't remember which one it was, but it wasn't long ago that we were reading some updated rankings that came out. And Trey Kaufman, it took a little bit of a dip, which no one seemed to understand why. He had a great summer. His recruiting has exploded. We talk about him nearly every day with a visit he has scheduled or someone that is coming into Silver Creek to watch him play or perform. But he's up to number 29 in the country now for the rankings, according to 24/7 Sports. A couple football notes to pass along. Tom Allen, the IU football coach, saying yesterday that the status of Michael Penix for the game against Connecticut on Saturday is still up in the air. It could be a game-time decision, could know a little bit more. Maybe he and the staff will know, obviously, before that. But could be, for IU fans, a game-time decision, which means if you're at the game or you're going to watch the game on TV, however you take in IU football on Saturday coming up, you might want to tune in to Don Fisher here on the Big X Sports Radio as he goes through the lineup. He seems to get some of the tips and things like that on players, if they'll play or not play. He might have some information for you on Michael Penix. But as of now, basically think you could still consider it a game-time decision as to whether he plays or not. And again, an important game for Indiana this week, not because there's any threat, you would hope not, of them losing or not winning the game, but this could be a momentum builder. It could be a shakeout the kinks opportunity before you jump back into Big Ten Conference play. And it would be really nice for IU to do those things with Michael Penix in the lineup some or for all of the game. Because, again, I think to win some of these big games, his playmaking ability, his talent that he has will be needed forthcoming in some of these games for Indiana. Also, the Big Ten Network tailgate show will be live from the IU campus on Saturday. IU fans invited, so if you're heading up to the game, you might want to get there a little early and check out what's always a neat kind of pregame opportunity. It'll be from 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday. It's the morning college football preview show. It's going to be live outside the west entrance of Assembly Hall, so you can check that out as well. And it looks like IU Athletics serving free Chick-fil-A while supplies last, so that might be a reason for some fans who may not make the short trek across to the West Assembly Hall entrance to do so with free food over there for sure. Also, a couple other things to mention today. Well, let's take a look at high school football tonight. Obviously, some interesting games. We're going to focus a lot on Jeffersonville and Floyd Central in our coverage tonight. That's a 7 o'clock kickoff. We'll also have play-by-play opportunity from Providence, who is playing at Charlestown tonight. So for our coverage here on the Big X, we'll go back and forth between those games. I'll break in with updated scoreboards, updates, and highlights from across the area. And then we'll have call-in reports from some of the other games, like Columbus East at New Albany. That's going to be a really tough one for the Bulldogs. We'll also get some updates from Silver Creek. They play up at Scottsburg tonight. They will still, it looks like, be without starting quarterback Dylan Myers. But again, the Dragons 4-0, a great opportunity tonight, even without him, to improve to 5-0 and win another Mid-Southern Conference game tonight. Salem is at Clarksville tonight, and Rock Creek will host Jasonville Community. That's a look at the Week 5 schedule for Clark and Floyd County teams. Again, Jeff at Floyd, I can see that. There's two viewpoints there. I can see that being a good game. I can see the Red Devils, who have all sorts of athleticism and have shown some flashes of being a really good football team in their losses this season. They come in with a 1-3 record overall. I can see them playing the Highlanders tough. But the flip side of that is Floyd Central's on a roll. Winker's right, our Big X Sports Radio Athlete of the Week, presented by Sir Dano's Pizza. He's on a roll. There's no question about that. They're playing some good football. So if they come out with all the momentum and all the confidence carrying over from the last few weeks and get off to a quick start, who knows? But Jeff does have the talent to play with Floyd Central. We'll see how close it is and competitive it is through the evening at Floyd Central tonight. Providence at Charlestown, could see that going different ways tonight as well, but Charlestown a favorite in that game. Of course, New Albany a big underdog tonight as they take on Hoosier Hills Conference. Silver Creek's a favorite tonight. don't know a lot about Salem, but Clarksville has gotten better. They've had some losses, obviously. They did win the one game earlier this year, but they continue to get better. They have some athletes on that team, some talent on that team as well. We'll see how they compete against Salem tonight in local football. Our coverage begins at 6 o'clock tonight with what we call the Kentuckiana High School Kickoff Show. It's live on the Big X. It's also live on 93.9 The Ville, our partner station. And in that hour preview of high school football, both sides of the river, the big games tonight, we will talk with James Bragg, the Floyd Central coach. We will talk with Isaac Parker, Jeffersonville's new coach, and get you all set for Floyd Central Jeffersonville tonight. We'll also take a look at some of the big games in Louisville as well, so stay with us in the 6 o'clock hour. It's the kickoff show here on the Big X Sports Radio. Then at 7 o'clock, we flip into play-by-play coverage. Southern Indiana Football Fridays is what we call it. And again, that'll include Jeff at Floyd Central play-by-play, opportunities to get play-by-play from Providence at Charlestown, and then we'll have updated scoreboards throughout the evening with call-in reports from some of the other games as well. So whether you're going to a game or not tonight, make sure you're with us. Maybe take your earbuds, your AirPods. You can listen to coverage from other games. And if you're not going to a game, tune us in. Leave it with us all night. We'll have scores and updates from all the games. We'll have a focus on, obviously, those two main games that I mentioned. But when it's all done for the night, we've got our scoreboard show, Southern Indiana Scoreboard Show, brought to you by Extremnasium. That is always fun because not only do we give you the results and some of the big performers of the night, but we also get a chance to hear from most, if not all, of the victorious coaches in the area. We'll talk with some media members as well and put a recap on week 5 of high school football. Again, 9 weeks of regular season play. So tonight marks, we're on the back half as far as regular season action goes. And we'll have everything for you tonight beginning at 6 o'clock on the Big X Sports Radio. That's a look at the headlines for this Friday edition of the program. We have Jared Morris next of the Assembly Call. We'll talk IU basketball. We'll talk defense for the basketball team next season and what an important area of the game that's going to be. We'll get into some recruiting stuff as well, and then we'll be joined by Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star coming up later in this Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. Jared Morris of the Assembly Call is always with us Fridays as we talk IU basketball. Of course, when the season gets here, you'll hear the Assembly Call IU postgame show right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Last night on the latest edition of Assembly Call Radio, which listeners that want more IU audio content can find at assemblycall.com, Jared, you guys talked a lot about a topic maybe, especially in the off season when games aren't going on, that doesn't get a lot of chatter. It's not something really exciting. It's not something that makes it a fan fun event. But defense is obviously a very important part of the game. And if Indiana is going to best some of these 9, 10, or 11 place finishes in the Big Ten Conference that many of the preseason magazines seem to want to put them at right now, defense and things along those lines, the unflashy stuff is maybe what's going to get Indiana above that point and perhaps to the NCAA tournament. Who knows? So a good talk last night. I got a chance to listen to a lot of it, hoping maybe you can summarize some of your thoughts about defense in Archie Miller's third year as the head coach at IU.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's imperative that the defense take another step forward this year. And you're right. It's not always something that's as exciting or easy to talk about in the offseason just because, defense is a little bit harder to quantify statistically, than the offense. There's not as many numbers to dig into and all that. But, I think from the day that Archie was hired, it was clear that, he had a mandate to improve the defense, which had really, struggled under Tom Crean and been really up and down. And so, the formula for Archie Miller to succeed at Indiana it was always going to start with defense. That's just his mindset as a coach. I think that's always going to be the identity of the teams that he has, you know, toughness and defense. And we've seen that in spurts in his first 2 years, but certainly not consistently enough. And he would be and has been, you know, the first person to say that. So I think, you know, what happens here in year three is really important. You know, just on a macro level, you know, in terms of Archie, you know, installing his system and having the kind of program that he wants, and, you know, specific to this season, because, you know, Indiana's losing its two most prolific scorers in Romeo Langford and Juwan Morgan. And so while, you know, we've talked a lot about, you know, reasons why the offense may be better than people think and all of that, this is still probably going to be a team with an offense that's a little bit up and down, a little bit inconsistent, that may struggle, you know, to score, especially against better teams. How do you stay in those games? Well, you play really tough, hard-nosed defense. And so, you know, when you look at this team, and when you actually take a step back and look at other programs that have installed the pack line, which is a difficult defense to learn and really requires a lot of cohesion and playing as a unit, you often see a jump in the third year. Virginia saw this, Arizona saw this, other schools have seen this. And so, you know, Indiana improved in Archie's first year from where they were the year before. They improved last year. And so, you know, now you look at it and you would expect them to improve again. And I think there are some reasons for that beyond just it being the third year in the pack line. You know, I think the third year in any system, you know, when it comes to defense, you know, you should have guys that understand it, the system better and can play more instinctively. You know, specific with defense, we often underrate the importance of help and the help decisions that players make, so that the guys that are out guarding the ball can trust their help, and so you don't get into a bunch of crazy rotations and leave guys wide open for dunks and three-pointers, which, you know, we've seen a little bit too much of over the first couple of years. So that's one. And then I think a healthy Deron Davis, and again, you know, everybody knock on wood, you know, if he can be healthy, we know what he can do offensively. I think his defense is a little bit underrated. You know, he's not a guy who's going to go out in space, you know, and do a lot. If you put him in pick and rolls, he may struggle. But in terms of a rim protector, he's really important for Indiana and really has been a guy who has done a really good job defending the post. And so if he can play 20 minutes a game and be healthy and be a guy that you can count on, I think he can really help anchor Indiana's you know, defense down low. And then when you look at the perimeter guys, I think from a guard perspective, we know what Robert Phinisee can do. Devontae Green is a guy that when he's engaged on the offensive end of the floor, typically tends to be engaged on the defensive end of the floor. And we know he's going to have the green light this year. So hopefully that also translates to more consistent defense. And Al Durham is an improving defender who really can give people fits because of his length, you know? And so, you know, then you look at it. And so you've got a lot of parts and pieces that are going to be better. You know, the cohesion overall should be better. And then you just look at some of the question marks. You know, Justin Smith can be an elite defender when he's engaged. How often will that be the case? Race Thompson, we saw it last year against Wisconsin, can be a really effective defender down low. How healthy will he be? You know, is he ready to now kind of take that step forward and be a consistent contributor? You know, and Jerome Hunter, same thing. He's a big, you know, versatile guy who can, you know, really help Indiana defend on the wing where they're going to need some help. I mean, you know, Justin and Jerome are, you know, going to have some tough assignments out there, and they're going to have to really help with that wing defense. So there are some question marks, but I think as you kind of look up and down, you do see a lot of the parts and pieces that you need for this defense to be better. And again, you know, as I said at the beginning, it's something that I think is absolutely imperative. It needs to happen if this program is going to get back to, you know, contending in the Big Ten and contending for NCAA tournament bids. And this year, actually getting back into the NCAA tournament.
Good stuff on defense from Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, who joins us Fridays as we talk IU basketball. The other big thing happening this week and happening this time of year is the IU coaches on the road recruiting and, of course, visits to the IU campus as well. Every day this week, we've shared something recruiting sort of news, whether it's been Archie Miller or an assistant coach going out to watch somebody, or whether there's the hopes of a player potentially making an official visit soon. Just something constant this time of year, and it's a very active time for communication, for visits, both, again, to the players and to the schools and the universities. And it's, I think, time to prioritize. We talk about 2020 recruits and what Indiana still needs in that class, and the point guard is something it looks like the IU coaches are focusing on. And, of course, it's interesting because these are guys out of the state. These are guys that we can't call their high school coach and find out more or get a read on where the recruiting is because they're not from Indiana. They're not places where most of us have connections. That said, the junior class, the 2021 class, is really becoming just an outstanding class in the state of Indiana, not just from an IU perspective, but from a perspective that a lot of kids in that class are going to go on to play high major college basketball. And so I think that while the 2020 stuff might be up in the air and might be a little unknown because it's without a state guys, we can really start to prioritize things in the 2021 class. And again, Trey Kaufman locally with us, Christian Lander not too far down the road, and even Blake Wesley up in South Bend is starting to receive just a lot of attention and really solidify his place with high major programs as far as recruiting goes. So look at that class for us for a moment from your perspective, thinking about the current roster. Of course, there's some unknown with what's going to happen in the class ahead of it, what could happen with 2020, what positions those player or players could be that come into the program in addition to the three we know about right now. But prioritize maybe 2021 in your mind as far as importance for IU to land, not just from a positional need, but also to keep in-state recruiting and that momentum that Archie Miller clearly has right now rolling along.
Well, I think it's clear that Christian Lander is the top priority. I mean, of all the guys, I mean, you might be able to debate whether Dawson Garcia would be a higher priority than Christian Lander, but, you know, I think if you made Archie Miller just pick one, if he could take one, I think he would take a commitment from Christian Lander. You know, the guy is, I think he was rated 11th in the most recently updated 24/7 rankings. You know, obviously Rob Finnessy is a sophomore this year, but he's going to be an upperclassman. You're going to have to start thinking about replacing him. And you can never have enough elite ball handlers who are versatile and can do all the things that Christian can do. So he is a huge recruit, you know, potentially could be for Archie what Yogi was for Tom Crean. And I don't, you know that Christian's going to be a four-year player, but I think he can be that level of recruit, that level of player. You know, that's the, you know, kind of what he profiles as in terms of what his high school reputation is. So he's absolutely huge, and I think for the way that Archie wants to play, you know, you've got to have a good point guard that can be that floor general out there that can, you know, get guys the ball and do all those things. I mean, Archie sees the game through the eyes of a point guard, and I think his ideal team is going to have a point guard out there on the floor that can kind of be his eyes and ears, you know, and I think Rob Finnessy is going to develop into that guy, and Christian can be next on the list. And that's regardless of if any of the point guards that Indiana's recruiting in 2020 come through. You know, none of them are the caliber of recruit of Christian Lander, and he is obviously, you know, the guy who would be the priority. And then after that, like you said, there's some really good players. I mean, Trey Kaufman, his ascent up the recruiting rankings has been, you know, big time, and he's now a top 30 recruit. I think maybe as of last year, he wasn't even in the top 100, or maybe he was, you know, 70th or 80th, but he's all the way up to the top 30 and just continues to develop and really show a versatile game. You know, I haven't ever seen him play live, but just from things that I've watched online and from what I've, you know, been told from other people, you know, not a back to the basket type guy as much as a versatile guy who can face up, who can shoot, who can really do a lot of things. And, you know, that, you know, obviously any team could use a guy like that. So those are the two biggest priorities in the class. And, you know, Indiana, I'm sure, is and will continue to put the full court press on those guys. And then, you know, you mentioned Blake Wesley from South Bend, who's a guy that, you know, I've really grown to like just watching him, again, watching him play online, just the athleticism that he shows, seems to have a pretty good shot, seems like a really competitive guy. And Caleb First is another guy as well. So, I mean, that class seems really deep, and you know Indiana should be well positioned to take advantage of that. I mean, Archie has made recruiting in-state a priority, you know, every year so far. He's gotten a lot of good players from the state, so I don't think there's much more he could do, and he's positioned himself early with these particular recruits, so I don't think there's much more he could do to be in a better position with these guys, but certainly I think for the momentum of his inside-out approach, you know, you certainly would want to see him land either Christian Lander or Trey Kaufman, you know, kind of the two, I think, consensus, you know, top two guys in the class. And obviously, if you could get, you know, two or three of those guys that I mentioned, you really would be doing, you know, something great. But it's tough to assume that just because so many of the big schools know the talent that comes out of Indiana and are involved with these players. So they're going to be difficult recruitments. They're probably going to go, you know, they're going to take a while. None of them are going to wrap up soon. So I think Indiana fans need to be patient. But I think Archie's done enough, you know, in state that you can feel as confident as possible about the chances. Now, probably the biggest thing Indiana needs to do is win this year and make sure that in the third year of a new coach, there's still positive momentum building. You know, it's no longer a blank slate. Archie has to, you know, kind of paint on as he's painting the picture for what the program is going to be. These guys are seeing it. And that's the one thing that I think could maybe hurt the momentum with these and other in-state players is if Indiana, you know, if it stagnates, if we don't make another tournament, if, you know, the chatter just gets kind of negative and toxic around the program, you know, that's not going to help continue that momentum in-state. So, you know, Archie's got to keep doing all the things he's doing off the court, and then the team has to win. And I think if those things happen, Indiana should be able to get, you know, one or a couple of those guys in the class of 2021.
You know, along those lines, Indiana fans going back to Romeo, the 2018 recruiting class, and really the arrival of Archie Miller have expected and have gotten the best players in Indiana basically to stay home. I can't even remember what it was like going to high school games or going to watch a big-time college prospect at a big game in the state with a big crowd where the player maybe had spurned Indiana, because there for a while it just happened so often that Indiana either A, didn't land the player and it was pretty common they were missing on guys in the state, or B, maybe weren't even in like the finalists recruiting the kid or didn't make the kid's final list. But now that there have been so many hits in a row, so many successes in a row for Archie Miller and his coaches and this program, and they've been some big names, Romeo Langford, followed by Trace Jackson Davis and other guys that you would want to keep in state from the Hoosier State. It's going to be interesting because obviously it's going to happen at some point. Keon Brooks was a little different because he didn't play at a true high school where there's rivalry games and there's an overload of IU fans that have been there following him as a recruit. The situation he played in was a little different. But if Christian Lander, or especially Trey Kaufman, right here in the heart of IU country in southern Indiana, or another in-state player, I don't know if up in South Bend it's as heated when it comes to IU fans turning out to support these potential future Hoosiers at games or not, but it could be interesting for a player from the state, from maybe southern Indiana, the first one in a while that doesn't pick Indiana. That's something completely opposite than what we would have said 3 or 4 years ago. Anybody that picked Indiana may have been the hero. Now, I think it's the expectation that, hey, the best players should stay here, and that's what's happened so far, so why are you going to do anything different? I know you could argue on the court success or lack of NCAA tournaments or whatever, but it will be interesting if and when it happens that one of these key players, especially somebody in southern Indiana, whether it be Wren or Kaufman or Lander, it'll be interesting to see if they don't pick Indiana and all the fans that are tracking them that are going to go to their games this year with IU garb on, how it's handled.
You know, it's nice to be back in that position where, you know, it would be disappointing and surprising if Indiana isn't involved with a top recruit down to the wire, if they don't pick Indiana, because you're right, that wasn't the case for a while. And I certainly, you know, don't think you need to have a roster of all Indiana guys. You've got to have a balance and be able to go out of state. But it's just, you look at the history of Indiana basketball, it's always been important to get the best players out of this state because it's just such a fertile recruiting ground. So you're right. You know, it would be interesting, especially in southern Indiana. I would hope and expect that the vast, vast majority of people would recognize that it's a high school kid making a huge decision for his future, and that, you know, no matter where he goes to college, he's from Indiana, so he's always a Hoosier anyway. And to support these guys as they pursue their dreams, and you know, we get all caught up in it. We want the best players to come to IU, and certainly there might be a little extra twinge of maybe animosity or disappointment if they were to choose Purdue or Kentucky, or Louisville. These are young men making an important decision for their future. And, you know, we can't expect them to use the same decision criteria that we would use. So I'm sure it would, you know, everybody would, you know, handle that with the utmost responsibility. But hey, hopefully we don't have to see it anytime soon, because those guys all choose Indiana.
Jared Morris of the Assembly Call, our guest. Before we let you go, please tell me Indiana football can get back on track this weekend with UConn at home and prepare itself for the rest of the Big Ten schedule.
Well, I saw that Indiana is favored by 28 points over UConn, which makes me wonder what the spread would be if Ohio State was playing. It might be 60 points. Yeah, I mean, you know, you go into a game like this, you know, certainly when you're favored by 28 points, you know, you expect to win, and that should kind of be a given. I think what you want to see from Indiana is, you know, they got to be able to run the ball. I mean, the running game just has not been there for, you know, for whatever reason, you know, whether the offensive line just isn't playing well enough, the backs aren't in sync yet, you know, they're, you know, trying to get in sync with the new play caller. I don't know, but, you know, look, you know, Penix is an exciting thrower. You know, Peyton Ramsey has obviously shown that he can be an efficient passer, but, you know, you got to be able to run the ball. And maybe you're not always going to be able to run it against the Michigans and Ohio States of the world just because, you know, their lines are going to be better. But that's how you're going to beat, you know, Rutgers and Maryland and, you know, some of these teams that you're even with from a talent and physicality perspective. You know, running is going to be important. So I think for me, the number one thing to watch for in this game is, can Indiana get some type of rhythm, some type of identity on the ground? Because I really think that they're going to struggle to move the ball with any type of consistency. They may get some big plays, but they'll struggle to move the chains with consistency if they can't get something going running. And, you know, there's a lot of talent in that backfield. And you know, guys like Stevie Scott that have done it before. So, you know, you would think at some point they would kind of get that going. And, you know, if you can't do it in a game when you're favored by 28 points, that would not bode well for the rest of the season, I don't think.
Yeah, absolutely. Jared Morris, the Assembly Call, with us Fridays. We talk IU basketball. You can find out more at assemblycall.com. Jared, thank you for the chat today, and we'll get with you again next Friday.
Absolutely. My pleasure, Matt.
We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back later in this program with Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star. Don't forget tonight, high school football on the Big X, Jeffersonville and Floyd Central. It's our Southern Indiana game of the week. We'll have both of those coaches with us in the kickoff show tonight in the 6 o'clock hour. Lots of high school football coverage. In fact, 5-plus hours of local football coverage coming your way with our Southern Indiana Football Fridays programming here on the Big X Sports Radio. We'll head to a commercial break. We're back with more. This is a Friday edition of the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach, who got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, always kind enough to join us Fridays. We talk lots of high school sports. We talk recruiting and much more. And Kyle joins us today. Kyle, I know you're focused on Indianapolis mostly with your high school football coverage, but it's hard to believe we are entering week five tonight, which is kind of that split between the front half and the back half of the high school football season. And before you know it, we'll be talking about sectional pairings and who maybe some of the favorites are. Once the high school football season gets here, things seem to roll very quickly. Before you know it, it's football playoffs. And before you know it, it's time for college and high school basketball.
Yeah, it's incredible. It's, you know, basically is the midpoint today of the regular season. And it's always, you know, you do so much to kind of get ready for the season all the way back to probably late June. And then, you know, here we are, it's week five already. And, you know, and it's fun. You know, you see some things start to shake out that you didn't anticipate, or, you know, try to get to as many stories as you can, and things always pop up and different things, you know, get pushed to the side, but it's a lot of fun. And tonight I'm going to actually be in the studio. We do that Friday Night Live show, which normally I'm out covering games, is where I need to be and what I want to do on Friday nights. But this will be kind of a neat experience for me. It's kind of a red zone NFL channel type of thing we're doing this year, where you bounce around to different games, live streams, and I'll be doing some commentary with Justin Mack on those games. So I think that'll be fun. It's a one-time Friday night thing, and I'll probably write a little bit about it it'll be different. I mean, it's more of a TV type thing, and then I'll be back out next Friday and the rest of the season doing what I need to be doing. But look, kind of looking forward to that. Kind of nervous about it, actually. It'll be a little bit different.
Hey, it's what we've done now for the last couple seasons. I'm in studio hosting the coverage. It's not video. It's obviously audio on the radio, but we bounce around to different games for play-by-play. We've got other people that want to do quick call-in reports and updates, and then I've got kind of a constant area scoreboard rolling as well from time to time, and it's worked well. We've had some good feedback on it. I do miss getting out to the games. I used to always be at a game like you on Friday nights, but hey, you got to do what you got to do to make the coverage happen, and so we've enjoyed that. And again, for an Indianapolis look at that, I'm sure your guys' coverage is very, very on the ball as well. With high school football, I know that we're to that point down here, at least, where I think fans and coaches are beginning to sense out maybe who some of the favorites are in some of the local sectionals. And it's kind of been interesting, and I didn't check this week, so I'm making this comment blind, but there have been really no representative in our immediate area in any of the polls so far this season. In fact, I'm not even sure that, unless something's changed this week, that anybody had been receiving any votes in the weekly class-by-class rankings that come out. So it's an area where there's a lot of unknown. There really isn't a favorite. There really isn't a powerhouse program like that there are in some other parts of the state. But I guess the good side of that is you don't quite, especially still early in the season, know what to expect on Friday nights here in the area. So with that said, this part of the state, I'm not sure that we've got the standout team. We've got some interesting players that are having great years, but when you look across the state, whether it be right in central Indiana or whether you look to southern Indiana or even to the far northern part of the state, what do you see when you think about sectionals and you think about state tournaments and you think about favorites in each of the different classes?
Well, to me, you know, and I know we've talked about this before, but I think 6A is probably as wide open as it's been in a while. And I don't know that, you know, and I'm speaking basically from a, you know, who's going to be the state champion type of a commentary. But even from the sectional level, I think there's a lot of wide open sectionals this year. I think it's, you know, the realignment, and I know the IHSA doesn't put thought into competitive balance when they do realignment. It's strictly geography, but it seemed to worked out better this year or for the next 2 year cycle than maybe it has in the past for competitive balance sake. So that's what I'm looking forward to. And I'm speaking about the 6A mostly, but you know, and there are some, I think it's sectional 27 or 29 in 3A where it's just completely loaded. You've got West Lafayette, Brebeuf Jesuit, Chittard. I mean, it's a Guerin Catholic. I mean, basically four, top 10 teams in the same sectional, which that'll be an absolute battle. West Lafayette and Chittard are definitely probably the two best teams in that class, you know, if not, you know, at least top four in that class. So, you know, that'll be interesting. But I think it seems to me like, you know, even in 5A where New Powell has been so dominant, I think Cathedral and Valparaiso are two teams that can give them a challenge. And people around here scoff at Valparaiso because they're, you know, they have been 6A in the past, and then 6A teams have basically from central Indiana rolled all over everybody. But in 5A, I think Valparaiso, they gave Carmel all they could handle in the semi-state last year. So I think in 5A, they're going to be really, really good. And that could be, you know, they wouldn't play New Pal till the state championship. But you know, I think they're a team from up north that can really do some damage. So, you know, I think there's a lot of, I don't know if parity is the right word or balance or whatever, but I think it makes it more interesting. I think the last 2 years, especially in 6A, we've basically known who the state champion was going to be in August, and or you know, it would take a major upset for it not to be. I don't think that's the case at all this year. I don't think we know at all who's. I think there's six or seven teams in 6A that could win it, and I don't know that we always have that. We haven't had that the last 2 years. Ben Davis 2 years ago, and then Warren last year were clearly the best teams, and it would have taken a pretty big upset to knock them off. And they both those teams were undefeated, so. It's fun to cover teams like that because they are, there's a lot to write about and they are so dominant. But from the other aspect, I kind of enjoy this. Even teams like, you know, from outside the MIC, I think have a realistic chance, such as, you know, Avon, Brownsburg, Fishers, those type of teams this year. Maybe there's an opening for one of those teams to slip through and win a state championship this year. So I think it's fun. I mean, there's a lot of different storylines, obviously, and maybe things will play out and Warren will win it again. But I think this year there's just more balance, probably throughout the classes, but especially at the top.
Kyle Nedenrip, the Indianapolis Star, our guest, and Kyle is with me every Friday here on the program. Switching to basketball, I mentioned earlier in the show going through some of the headlines today that the new 247 Sports rankings were out in the 2021 class. No surprise to see Christian Lander and Trey Kaufman, two Southern Indiana guys, both improve their ranking in the 247. I think Lander up to number 11, Kaufman up to number 29. Two players in the top 30 in the country, literally an hour and 30 minutes from each other here in Southern Indiana. That 2021 class that I ask you so many questions about, that we talk about a lot on this program, highlighted by both of those guys, and on a national level, for whatever rankings are worth. I mean, the guys obviously are known by colleges. They're going to get recruited. They are being recruited at a high level. But for whatever rankings are worth on a national level, they both have reached that national caliber of a player. I don't think there's any question about that.
Yeah, and I those are about where, where the rankings at. I think Kaufman actually has gone up quite a bit since the last time those guys were ranked. And actually, we had it's interesting. We just talked about this in the office yesterday with my boss a little bit about that class. And I know we've talked about it on the show, but it's going to be interesting how this plays out when you look at the depth of the class. And you know, just yesterday, Jaden Taylor from Perry Meridian committed to Butler and had a chance to talk to him about that and kind of before he did it, actually, or made it official. But he's one of those guys, and you kind of, compare it to other years and other classes where the depth is so good. And, you think back to 2012 and there's just Division I guys everywhere. He's one of those guys that, kind of maybe is under the radar. I think at some point he can play himself into a top 150 type player. I think he's right on the verge of doing that. He's going to be coached really well by Mark James at Perry Meridian. But I guess my point is that there's a lot of guys like that in this class. And then when you see, those there's not going to be enough spots for all the in-state schools to take these guys. And he kind of jumped in and jumped on that Butler offer. So maybe that pushes another in-state kid who had an offer from Butler, for instance, maybe somewhere else, and maybe some of these kids end up getting out of state or, going to maybe mid-majors when they could be high majors. It's interesting how the dominoes fall in recruiting. And, that's one of them with Jaden Taylor committing to Butler last night, basically. And that's their first commitment in 2021. And I think could have been a guy who, I know some other high majors were looking to get in and watch him and maybe get him on campus for some visits. And he decided I'm ready to commit to Butler. So an instance of, kind of how things go sometimes. And he's got a lot of time left to play high school basketball, but, already wanted to make his commitment. And I think he had a good feel for what he wanted, but it would just be interesting to see how the rest of those dominoes fall in that junior class, and if we'll see a lot of early commitments from that group.
Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star with us, starting with football, getting into some basketball, and I want to continue with that because, as we said, once high school football gets rolling, high school basketball is just around the corner, and I know that you love it like I do. You follow it year-round. You're there in the summer covering things when probably you really – maybe don't have to be, but you want to know what's going on. You want to be on top of it. So maybe a way too early look at the season, the high school basketball season. We are so excited about things here in Southern Indiana with a number of great players, not just seniors, but underclassmen as well. We think a number of great teams that could compete for state championships and for deep runs into the state tournament as well. I don't see any way, some which way, it's not a great year for basketball here in our immediate area. And I'm curious, maybe your way too early look across the state, some of the top teams, some of the things that you're most excited about, and if any of those things match up with what we're excited about down here in Southern Indiana.
Oh, for sure, yeah. And I'm already went out to two open gyms this week and starting to, I think I told you last week, is starting to turn the page, not turn the page, but open another page or open another book, I guess, as we get going into the fall and winter. But so I'm excited to get going too. Kind of got some stuff mapped out as far as my schedule goes to get out and see more players. And, that's the fun thing is, you know, just getting back in the gym and seeing what these teams look like, you know, and really now, you know, with the rule changes, you know, you can basically go out and watch teams practice, you know, and not, it's not only, I mean, a lot of, it's different. Every school does it different. Every coach does it different. You might have, I know one I went to this week was basically they're just working on shooting pretty much the entire time, different shooting drills. You know, that's all they did. And then yesterday I went to another one and it was open gym basically. And they were just kind of running up and down the entire time. And I know there's a mix of, you know, you can do different stuff, whatever you want to do, but it kind of gives you a chance to see like, all right, how's this guy looking compared to where he was this summer? You know, and I think this year, when you look at it, I like this year because it looks like, you know, where it looks like all over the state there's going to be good teams. You know, you've got down in Southern Indiana so many teams that are capable of you know, making deep runs. You know, you think about Jeffersonville and Silver Creek have definitely got those, you know, teams to be able to do that. And, you know, you look up north, there's a lot of teams up there that are loaded and ready to go. A lot of good players. You know, South Bend's got two really good ones in that 2021 class. And, you know, Merrillville's got Kean Thompson. There's just a lot of, it's not just, you know, it never is. I mean, there's always good basketball all over the state, but it's definitely not limited to the Indianapolis area. And I think maybe more football is kind of that way, but I think basketball still, you know, there's a lot of talent everywhere. And I'm looking forward to getting out. And, you know, there's a lot of good seniors too, but especially that junior class to, you know, get out and see a lot of those players and teams and going to try to do that even before the season starts. So, yeah, I'm definitely excited about that. And, after seeing a couple open gyms this week, I'm definitely excited to see more.
Yeah, going to be fun. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star with us. Kyle, enjoy your in-studio work tonight. Like to get you down here with us in studio sometime. And I know you'll do great. We'll follow your coverage, and we'll talk with you next week here on the Hoosier Report.
Awesome. Good to talk to you, Matt. Thanks.
All right. Kyle Nedenrip, Indianapolis Star, always with us Fridays here on the program. A great way to wrap up the week. Again, that'll wrap it up for the Hoosier Report today, and we'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock with the Kentuckiana High School kickoff show live on the Big X Sports Radio, also live on 93.9 The Ville for the Louisville audience as well. We'll be previewing the big games on both sides of the river. We'll talk with the coaches in that 6 p.m. hour from Jeffersonville and Floyd Central. We'll give you a look at the rundown for the games that kind of stand out to us on both sides. And then at 7 o'clock, we'll rotate into our play-by-play coverage as we'll take a look on the Big X at two Southern Indiana games of interest tonight, Floyd Central, Jeffersonville, Providence, and Charlestown. I'll have constant scoreboard updates every 10 minutes or so. We'll have call-in reports from the other games, especially early on, to keep you posted with how Silver Creek and how Clarksville and how some of the other schools and New Albany, how some of the other schools we may not be focusing on tonight, how they are doing early in their games as well. And then, of course, when it's all over with, the Southern Indiana Scoreboard Show presented by Extremnasium. We'll have a lot of the winning coaches with us tonight. We'll also have media members and others that join us as we wrap up what it will be week 5 of high school football. Again, we've had the front 4 weeks. Tonight, week 5. Next week, we begin the slide to the conference, or I should say the sectional tournaments and postseason tournaments for high school football in the area. Have a great weekend. Hope you can join us tonight for high school football. Hope that you enjoy yourself. And we'll be back, of course, on Monday at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. And a quick plug, don't forget we're on podcast, Apple Podcast. All you got to do is type in the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Click search. You can subscribe for free. It'll be downloaded to your device, however you listen to podcasts. And then, of course, for SoundCloud, you can download that app or just go directly to SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, SoundCloud.com/Hoosier Report. Have a great weekend. I'm back tonight for high school football coverage, and then I'll be back again on Monday for the Hoosier Report at 11 o'clock right here on the Big X Sports Radio.